You know, and I don't think it's about preparation or even background or anything. It's just like, it's actually being ready to engage, like, and focus on whatever is happening right now, especially.
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Stelly Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Stelly's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
Heath, my man. So first of all, for all the listeners today, this is a virtual episode. I'm actually in Berlin right now. Heath, are you at home?
I am at home, yeah, and I'm using my laptop wired in to the internet, so hopefully my connection's good.
Fingers crossed. Let's make this happen. So what do we want to talk about today?
So today we want to talk about something interesting. So I advise a bunch of companies, and there's one where I'll go into their office every week, and I was talking to the head of marketing, and she's had a lot of interactions with me. We work together on a lot of things, and she said, "How come you are always prepared?" And she asked me that question, and I never thought of myself as somebody who's always prepared. So there's something that I'm doing that's causing her to feel like that. And I just wanted to explore that because I feel like what happened, the reason she believes that or thinks that is because I don't ever feel like I'm not prepared for something. Like it's not like I feel like I'm prepared. It's just like I'm ready for anything, anytime, like bring it. And I think that approach is probably what makes her feel like I'm always prepared. And she's wondering how she can always be prepared, you know, and I don't think it's about preparation or even background or anything. It's just like, it's actually being ready to engage, like, and focus on whatever is happening right now, especially when it's a conversation, communication, or, you know, something that someone's asking you about. And I'll give one thing really quickly that I just thought of is I was meeting with someone many years ago, and I was just talking to them, and they were telling me about people they like. And one thing they said is they mentioned somebody, some executive, some very, very high up executive. And they said, "She always makes me feel like I'm the only person in the world when I'm talking to her. And she always focuses in on the right things and is paying attention when I'm talking to her. And it makes me feel like she really cares." And I think that that's really what it boils down to. So,
do you think when she said, "Why are you always prepared?" that another way another way of describing that saying, "Why do you always know what to do?" You know these people that's like, "Oh, you always know what we should be doing next. You always understand what the next steps are. You always know what the right decision is. You just have always like that confidence and clarity and knowledge of what we need to do." Because she used the word prepared, which to me means you showed up with like lots of notes and the things already designed and checklists like that to me,
right.
And research done. Like that to me is the equivalent of like you're being prepared, but it doesn't sound like that's what you were doing, right? It sounded like
I never show up with assets like that in these meetings, but I think you're onto something when you say that because I don't, it's funny, like when someone asks me something, I give them an answer. It's rare for me to say, "I don't know." But when I don't know, I help them figure out how they can get the answer.
Yes.
You know, like it's like, "Hey, maybe you shouldn't ask me. Ask like so-and-so," right? Or, "Here's how I would think about that problem." Those are the kind of statements I use.
So this is interesting because I remember, so there was a Twitter thread that we had. This is a while back, so it's not easy for me to bring it up, but there was somebody that was saying how great the startup chat is, and we love all the people that are telling us. Keep telling us that. You know, it's, everybody loves positive reinforcement. We love to hear from you, good and bad. But they were saying they really love the podcast, and one of the reasons why they loved it is because we made it seem like we just jumped on a call and had a random conversation. We're just chit-chatting and we're like, it just sounds so organic and so natural. And then I remember replying, telling them that it's because it is, because there's zero preparation going on. Zero is not the right word, but there's fairly little research and preparation in the traditional sense of us thinking through the topics and then thinking through all the talking points and then doing research and then thinking about, you know, we don't do any of that. Like literally our preparation is Do you have a topic, Heaton? I don't know. Do you have a topic, Stelly? Maybe this. No, this sucks. How about that? Yeah, maybe. What do you think about that? All right. Let's not talk too much about it. Let's record, right? And we don't know what we're going to say about these things. And part of why this is fun to me, and I think to you as well, Heaton, is the exercise of having honest and in the moment conversation with you, because I don't know what I'm going to say, I don't know what you're going to say, and I don't know what we're going to think together as a result of that interaction, like the new thoughts and new kind of perspectives that we're going to gain or I'm going to gain out of the conversation. That's part of the fun for me to talk to you, because it's always going to be new and different. I'm going to be thinking about things differently and learning about things as I converse with you. So anyways, coming back to the tweet, I replied and said, the reason why it sounds like it's supernatural, unprepared, is because it's not prepared. Right? It takes us like a minute before we jump into the call. And the person responded saying, wow, that's impressive. And then a little later, somebody else replied in the same thread and said something along the lines. I'm going to butcher it. He said it really beautifully. Yeah. But it was like, yes, this is like decades of hard work and experience and entrepreneurial roller coaster to then afford the ability to spend minutes in preparation for a podcast. Like basically saying, yeah, these guys have like put in blood, sweat, and tears and years of, you know, work yeah. to get to the level of knowledge and experience and insights that they can just jump on a call and be like entertaining and valuable and insightful without any preparation needed, because the preparation was the 20 years of work before that call that came before it. And I had to laugh, and I think that he's spot on. And that's the first thing I thought when you described her thinking you're always prepared and thinking how you're like, I'm just showing up to things, but I'm like fully there. They have my full attention and I just know what to do. I can draw from experience. So I know who to go to. And it's like that comes from somewhere, and it comes from all the work that you've put in, all the study, you know, of the art, the reading, the researching, the trying things out, the failures, the successes, the giving advice to people, the seeing what worked, what didn't work, all that amount now is kind of a resource that you just at the fingertip, you can just tap into that resource at any time and get a shit ton out of it, versus people that haven't made that investment, their resource is very small. So if they don't prepare, they don't have enough to just tap into. Does that make sense? That's what I'm thinking when I'm thinking about this, like how you always prepared.
Yeah. Okay. So I really, really, really like that. And I really, really, really don't like that. So the reason I really like it is because it does explain a lot about at least this podcast and all of that. I'll add one thing to that, and then I'll talk about why I don't like it. So the thing I'll add to that is there's one commonality, not just in our podcast and you and I, but also in kind of how we approach a lot of things and these meetings and stuff that we have. And I think that commonality is like when we show up, and I think this podcast is essentially equivalent to that. When we show up, we want to be valuable. We want to make sure that we're valuable to the audience. We're just an interface to add value to their world. That's the way I think about it. I know you would describe it differently, but I'm pretty sure at the root of it, you're thinking about it the same way. And that's why we can just start and go, because you and I are both trying to tune towards value, right? Value to the people that are listening, right? Whether it's in this podcast or even in a meeting, because if we're not valuable, then why are we having the meeting? So the way I see it is, I mean, even the last one we just recorded, you were like, hey, was that any good? And I'm like, actually, it was pretty good. But you had doubts, right? Because you were probably like, is this going to be valuable to people, right? So, you know, I think the common thing about this is even being prepared, I don't think it's about the 10 years. So this is the part I don't like. I don't want people to think that because Stelly and I have spent so much time, blood, sweat, tears, whatever, coming up, you know, like with experience, like that we can do this. I don't think that just doesn't sit well with me, because I don't think then we're adding value to the people that are listening, because then we're basically telling them, hey, 10 years from now, like if you're early, you know, or 5 years, whatever, you'll be able to be helpful to people, or you'll be able to be prepared all the time.
Yeah.
No, that's not, you know, that's great. That's great. I get it. But that's not really what it is to me, because even 10 years ago, in many scenarios, I would be just as, you know, useful or prepared or whatever. So I think what it really boils down to is taking away you from the equation and basically focusing on the other person, the other thing that you're there to converse about, instead of focusing on you, right? Like here, like you and I are not focusing on us when we're talking, right? We're focusing on talking about something that's valuable, that we believe is valuable to anybody that's interested in startups or working on startups.
And here's an interesting thing about this. So many times after we record a podcast, because we never know what we're going to say before we say it, and then when we say it, we're saying it. So afterwards, we'll have like a quick, what was this? Was this good? Was this bad? We never, yeah. And we've never talked about this, but I just realized anytime we have any doubt or anytime that we're like, no, I think this was good, it's always, this is going to be valuable to people, or I'm not sure, are people going to get something from this? I've never heard you say, and I never said, I didn't like how I said this. I didn't like that you disagreed with me on this point. Like, there was never any ego involved in this. And we had podcasts where, you know, I did not that great of a job, or like we didn't say things as eloquently, or it took us like 19 out of the 20 minutes to get to what we really want to say. So I don't think that we're always shining in these episodes, but we really, really don't care. Like, there was never a moment of ego showing up of like, I don't like that you disagree with me, or I want to do this recording again because I could say it better this time. We don't really care. The only thing we care about is like, if somebody listens to this, will they learn something? Will they get something of value? Will this create value in the world? That's the only thought we have. So I like that, because that frees up a lot of capacity to focus on the person in front of you, or the task in front of you, or the challenge in front of you, versus having to deal with the task, challenge, or person, plus your own ego and the way that you want to be perceived and the way that you respond to this task or the way you interact with these people.
Yeah, I don't really think too much about how I'm going to be perceived, whether it's in this podcast or in a meeting.
Right.
And the one fundamental reason is I'm just trying to add value. And if I'm trying to add value, it's about the other person. It's about what value can I add. Otherwise, like, I feel like the meeting shouldn't happen.
All right.
But, and I probably do that to a fault.
Yes, you do. So. And that's why we love you, right? That's why you hold a special place in the world. But that's not enough, right? Like, being fully there and aware and present and truly caring about creating value, I think those are amazing traits to be more prepared in situations. But I don't think that's enough to be prepared to deal with whatever is thrown your way. I don't think so. I get where you're coming from when you say, I don't want the listener to come away from this as like, I need to invest 10 years, otherwise I can't add value to the world or be prepared. I don't like that either in hindsight. I get why you disagree with it, and I want to disagree with it. But there's something to be said that you need to, maybe it's not like, it's not 10 years or 5 or any amount of years, but you need to have some knowledge, some skill sets, some frameworks of thinking. Even if you don't know, you need to know how to figure things out, or how to find answers, or how to find people that have answers. Like, you need to have something as a resource to bring to the table. Because if you have zero experience, zero knowledge, zero things to add to the table, but you're there with the intent to help, you might still be very unhelpful, right? You might still just lack the tools to be able to be helpful. Like, so what do you think about that? Like, what is presence and a value focused? Is that really enough, or is there something missing? And if there's something missing, maybe it's something else that I'm describing.
Yeah. You know, I think you just have to believe you can be valuable. It doesn't matter. Like, I don't think it really matters too much. Like, everyone has their own perspective, has their own life experiences. And there's a lot of different ways to add value in a meeting or in a conversation, regardless of the topic or regardless of your knowledge, right? It's like, sometimes it's just as simple as hearing the person out and just helping them logically think through a problem. And you know, if you're someone that at least has the ability to help other people, which all of us can, I put it very simply, because over time you'll probably develop the areas or the things where you can be most valuable. But in the beginning, if it's a meeting with some friend or something, you're obviously going to try to be valuable. They're your friend, right? So you want to help them out or whatever. If it's a meeting with a team member, you know, somebody on your team, then it's likely you have some context, right? But if you make it about yourself or your opinion or what you want to do, or your agenda, then you might not actually end up being valuable, and it might not be as productive of a meeting. So I think it's more first and foremost, it's a mindset shift of like thinking that you're trying to show off or you're trying to represent yourself in a certain way in a meeting. And sort of, you know, if you can align around you know, what is valuable and what that person might even think they want from you. And sometimes that can also be really helpful, because then you won't be so worried about being valuable and how you can be valuable. You'll be more focused on where they think you can add value. So a lot of times, if I don't know how I can add value to a situation, I'll just ask. I'll be like, how can I be valuable here, right? Or how can I help here? And sometimes it's like nothing, you know, and that's fine, because then I'll start poking around and I'll make my own stuff up about how it can be valuable.
All right, so let's change the format a little bit, and for the next five minutes, let's give tips on how to be more prepared, right? And one thing that you, so let's summarize the things we've already said. In effect, we said one way of being more prepared is being fully present and paying attention and being there, not in your mind busy with what you just did, or not on your phone, or not like everywhere. But when you show up to a meeting, to a task, to a conversation with another person, be fully present. It's part of being really prepared and being able to tackle whatever is in front of you, is being even aware that there's something in front of you, being there fully to see it. So that's one thing we said. We said the last thing that you said was about believing in yourself. Believe that you can be helpful and valuable. That's a big component. What are some of the other things that we said?
Yeah, I think another one is you can prepare for a meeting, but you don't have to spend too much time doing it. And it could be just as simple as just making sure you understand the context of the meeting. So a lot of times people will book meetings and not give you the context. So you could just ask, this is a pre-meeting thing, but you could just ask specifically, like, you know, if somebody books a meeting or something like that, and you don't have clarity on like how you could be valuable or why you're even in the meeting, ask people, right? Just ask them, like, what do you think I could add to this meeting, right? Like, I'm just curious. I'll come to the meeting, but like, what do you think I could add to this meeting? You know, what would you like me to focus on, right? And I even go further and be like, is there anything that you'd like to share before the meeting? Because then at least I'll have context. I can be more prepared. And going into the meeting, it's like very deliberate, right? So I think you should, when you're having a meeting, you should actually try to make sure you have a very good idea of what value you can add to the meeting. And sometimes it requires you to go ask before the meeting.
Yeah, and you are particularly great at this. So Heaton, even in email threads, a lot of times when people, and this just happened today, somebody sent us a very long email, but he did a great job at like formatting the email, making this easy to digest. It was very thoughtful about it and wanted advice. And Heaton, what Heaton does a lot of times, and I've started doing this more and more, learning from you, is asking some really important questions before jumping into giving answers, right? So Heaton, a lot of times somebody will write like 2-page long email, and then Heaton will reply, hey, can you answer these 3 questions for me quickly? And then I'll tell you what I think about your questions. And you can tell that Heaton is asking for more context, like, what is the goal here? What does this person care about? Why are they in the situation they're in? What do they truly want? Like, asking for some of these things, because they can make all the difference. So asking for context when you have the feeling don't quite yet know what this meeting is about or what this problem is about.
Yeah, and what I'm usually doing in my head is if I read something like that, and the reason I'm asking the questions is because when I read it, I'm like, I don't know how to be valuable yet. Like, I don't know how I can add value to this person based on what they told me so far, so I have more questions, right? And I think one of the mindset shifts for me, and it happened a while ago, I don't even know when, probably naturally, is that when someone asks me a question, I don't have to answer it. I can ask more questions. I just don't have to answer it.
Yep.
You know, like, there's no requirement that when someone asks a question, I have to answer it.
Yeah, see, that's a great point. So let's take this quick segue, right? Because this is important.
Sure.
Most humans have been conditioned to feel the urge to answer when asked, right? As children, we've learned this from our parents in school. So it's an inner urge, you know, that was conditioned. So once you understand that, you can learn to fight that urge. But when you know that, it's also very powerful in communication, because you know of the power of questions, and you know that just by asking them, you'll make people answer it, right? So I had this, I'll share this quick story. I had this story with one of my employees many years ago, where every time he would call me, and he was a super junior guy, I would pick up my cell phone, and his first question was not like, his first thing was never like, hi, Steli, how's it going? His first question was always, where are you? And I would be like, always answer, just out of reflex. Well, right now I'm in the car, I'm driving to this and this meeting, what's up? Then he would call me another day, where are you? And I'm like, well, I'm you know, at home, but I'm packing up, I'm going to be in the office later. And then one day he calls me and he's like, hey, where are you? And I'm thinking, what the fuck? why is this your business where I'm at? And I reply, where are you? And he's like, well, I'm right now on the way. And I'm like, wow, the magic of questions. I was answering these questions for so long, A, without being aware that I'm doing it, B, without wanting to do it, and C, just not like with the zero awareness, just out of reflex. But the funny thing was when I threw that back, that question back to him, he out of reflex just had to answer it as well. So questions are a powerful thing, but yeah, you don't have to answer just because somebody asks you a question. You can throw a question back if you need more information, more context to be valuable and useful. One more thing I want to throw out is if you don't know, that in itself can be valuable. So if you're like new to this field, inexperienced, somebody that's not like an expert on a domain, not in the domain, a lot of times people that are new to our business, I tell them one of the most valuable things is right now is that you're still an outsider. In a month from now, you're going to buy into our Kool-Aid, you're going to buy into our language, our lingo, our way of thinking, and then our blind spots will be your blind spots. Today, the things we don't see are still obvious to you because you're an outsider. You don't quite understand these things, so you question them. That's valuable to us. I want you to use that and bring things up. If you think something is stupid, we do. If you don't understand something